A very special thanks to our $5 fans, Carl Nelson, Andrew Anker, Scott Carroll, Todd Doyle, James Newton, Brendan Atkins, Amber Costley, Jared May, Dan Liu, Sean Bonner, Carl Nelson, Susan Connor, Stephen Fox, Barry Walsh, Nav Pereira, and Andrew Anker.
I thought Steven canceled.
Oh, he did. He still had some leftovers. Andrew Anker had a couple.
All right. Should come back.
Yeah.
I mean, we came back.
We came back.
How long has it been?
It's been a really long time.
It has.
It's been maybe over a month. I think it's been over a month.
I feel like we should apologize to people.
Sorry, everybody.
So, first we shut down for the holidays.
Yeah. Well, no, even before that, we were busy slash like we were both traveling in December,
right? And then I did that and episode then, by myself where I got yelled at a lot.
Oh yeah, and we were trying to record, but then there was a holiday party, Mule Nog.
Yeah, that didn't work.
And then it was Christmas, and then you went to Tokyo.
I did, and then I got sick.
And then you got sick forever.
And I'm still sick.
Yeah.
And then you got a new job.
I got a new job and a new kitten.
Why did you get a kitten?
I don't know.
Did you name it yet?
No.
I saw that you were trying to name it today.
Yeah, I'm trying to name it.
I gave you a pretty good suggestion.
It just feels like a lot of pressure because those things like live for a pretty long time.
Yeah, there's ways to shorten that.
Yeah, I also just like, you know, want to call it Banana Nut Bread to its face, but have it like, you know, a good, you know, an internet presence. So I don't know.
What's wrong with Banana Nut Bread as a name?
I think it's too long. I read that cats and dogs respond well to two-syllable names.
Like asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not like Banana Nut Bread.
And just call it Nana for short.
Yeah, it sounds too much like a grandma, though. See, this is my problem. I think way too hard about it. So yeah. I got it 2 days ago. I'm going to let it settle.
You have 3 days to name it.
Yeah, okay. All
or
right.
Maybe that's if you're Jewish. I don't know.
It has to be by Friday at sundown, right?
Right.
Okay.
Or then you can't name it at all.
Really?
Right.
That's how that works?
I think so.
That's crazy. Well, I'll get on it. Anyway,
we're doing this, right? We're doing this.
We're doing what?
This show.
We're recording, right?
This show. So, I mean, we took a break.
Yeah.
But now we're back.
Oh, we're super back.
And people should feel confident that we're back.
Oh, yeah. We were never not going to do this.
Right.
I was just, you know, I stopped doing one job and got another over the holidays. That's a lot of stuff.
So the good news is we can talk smack about Facebook again.
Because you stopped talking smack about Facebook while I was there.
Well, you stopped joining in.
Oh, yeah. But I also, I mean, I still also like Facebook, the thing, the website, the internet portal.
You know who I want to get on the show?
Who?
The Tehan and Lax guys.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know about that. I'm surprised.
Well, I found out about that at the same time everyone else did.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at the same time their employees did.
Yeah.
That's the thing I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would love to hear what they have to say. A lot of people, I mean, a lot of people, every time a company gets acquired by Facebook, a lot of people criticize them.
The company didn't get acquired, though.
No, that's what's weird.
Those guys just got jobs.
Yeah. Yep.
Let's try to get them on.
All right.
I think people would enjoy that
show.
That'd be
fun to talk about. Talk about dissolving your agency.
So where are you now?
I am at another agency called Black Pixel.
I know them.
Yeah, so do I.
I bet you do.
Yeah, a couple of,
That's Pasco, right?
That's
Daniel Pasco.
We have another ex-mule there, Tom Carmody.
That's right.
He's their design director.
Yeah.
It's a cool place. It's a slightly bigger agency than I'm used to working at.
And they're in Seattle.
They're located in Seattle, but I am down in San Francisco.
And you're going to stay here?
Yeah.
That's good.
I just, you know, working out in my living room with my kitten.
And so now you found a way for somebody to pay you to go visit your parents.
Because it's my favorite thing to do is visiting my parents.
I love it when you visit your parents because you come back with really great stories.
Or cats.
When is your mom coming here?
I don't know. She doesn't like traveling.
When can we get her on the show?
I tried to get her last time. It just didn't work. Couldn't nail him down.
We were trying to get your mom on the show.
Yeah.
It's at the end of the year.
It's just, I mean, of course, as everybody knows, I love my mom. But trying to get my mom to, like, come in to record a podcast is like trying to, like, get a pigeon to, like, go into a crate, willingly.
The internet was so excited.
I know.
When they thought your mom was going to be on the show.
I know.
They are ready to love your mom.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure everybody is.
And I bet we could get some baby Jesse stories.
Oh, without a doubt, you could.
That's going to be the best show ever.
Ah, yeah. So, now we're both back in the agency game. I'm not at Facebook. Do you have anything to make fun of them for right now?
Not right now,
just
no.
Off the top of your head?
No, they've been fairly quiet, I think. But, you know, if anybody has any gripes about Facebook, they know where to email them. Yeah. What's our email?
Mistakes@muleradio.net.
Yeah, so send us your Facebook stories. Send us all your terrible stories.
Somebody recently on Twitter called me out for both working at Facebook and eating foie gras.
That wasn't me, was it?
No.
So were they serving foie gras at Facebook?
No, I wish. I would have stayed there. I would have done anything to stay there.
I thought that was illegal in California.
It isn't anymore. And I tweeted about how I was excited that it was legalized again. And somebody was just like, said something about how I was morally questionable or didn't have any ethics or something like that.
So what was the point of, first, why was it illegal? And then two, why is it now legal?
Well, it's a foie gras is in a gray area, ethically speaking, where it's like sometimes some people will force feed ducks and geese so that they get fat.
So there's no kind way to make foie gras.
There is.
Is there?
There are many kind ways.
Okay, tell me.
There is a certain, like, I think the most common breed of, like, goose or whatever that you use for foie gras are natural overeaters, which is where it comes from anyway. So there's, like, a cool farm in Spain where they just have like short fig trees so that the geese just eat all of the figs, or olives or something Spanish sounding like that. And then they just get fat and that's all it takes.
So they just naturally get fat.
Yeah. If you just give them a lot of delicious food that they can't pass up, then they just fatten themselves. But I mean, I guess what I think of is just like there are horrible practices everywhere in animals for food. Like chickens are treated pretty horribly, cows are treated pretty horribly, and those are not outlawed. So I don't know. I think that it's more of a matter of like the standards should be enforced, but I don't think that you should eliminate being able to eat a goose's liver just because some people are terrible. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. We should have Sean Bonner on because he doesn't eat any of that stuff.
Oh yeah, I used to be vegetarian, so I mean, I don't. I like to think that like I get it. I'm not totally out of touch with like you know the how questionable it is to eat meat, but I eat organic, cage free range whenever I can. So.
I like how we're lining up all our guests for the year.
Yeah.
Picking different fights with people.
Who else do we want on here? any other dream guests this year, Mike?
There's lots of other dream guests.
Yeah. I mean, this is our first episode of 2015. Should we, like, do we have any? I know that last year we said that we wanted to be more positive.
That lasted about two shows.
Yeah. Yeah. So, then, I mean.
Well, because then everything blew up.
Everything blew up.
Last year was terrible.
Last year was the year of shit hitting the fan. What do you think this year is going to be?
Hopefully, so far this year is the year of being sick.
And people just can't even. This is the year of just can't even.
Yeah, I think so. Last year was so horrible that everybody who made it to this year, it's like, you know how you're like, if you're lucky, your body will wait until you're like coming home from vacation to get sick.
Yeah.
Or like the minute you deliver a project, you get sick.
Yeah, that's pretty much always what happens right. to me.
Because all that stress and anxiety has been bottled up, fucking with your immune system. Mm-hmm. And then once it's gone, it's like, hey, we can get sick now. This is great.
Oh, so you think that that's what 2015 is?
I think that's what 2015 is doing.
We just all have a fucking cold.
It's like all of the toxins that we built up in 2014 are finally like, all right, let's go.
You sound like a celebrity nutritionist.
I am. I'm on a cleanse.
What's your cleanse?
I'm not on a cleanse. Why do people always tell you about their cleanses?
I don't know. It's kind of gross.
Like, here's a sentence that I guarantee has never been uttered. Tell me about your cleanse.
I mean, when people say cleanse, do they know that they're pretty much only talking about their colon? Like, do they know? Also, do they know that cleanses are not real?
Like, hey, what's up with your colon?
Yeah. What are you, have you cleaned it lately?
What are you doing with your colon juice? These days?
I just love, I love juice cleanses and like, how silly they are.
Hey, how you doing? What's the state of your colon? Like, it doesn't make sense.
No,
it
doesn't.
I don't want to know that.
I don't. But I don't think that people really know that that's what they mean when they even go on a cleanse.
What do you? I don't know. Well, one, they don't do anything.
Yeah.
They're silly.
Yeah.
But what do you think people think they're doing?
I think that people think that they're – so what I've heard from people that don't understand what they're talking about is that, like, it replaces the bad cells in your body with good cells.
Doesn't your body already do that?
Yeah. Okay. That's what bodies do.
Just checking.
You know what doesn't do that? Juice. Sorry. I mean, not to hate on juice. Juice is a great...
Are you saying juice or juice?
Either one. Not okay. to hit on either one of them. Juice is... it's a great beverage. That's about all it is, though.
I like juice.
Yeah. It's not a cleaning product.
I like grapefruit juice.
You like grapefruit juice?
Yeah.
You know, I am actually not a big juice person.
No?
No.
Hey, what do you drink when you fly?
I usually just fall asleep.
All right.
But club soda or tomato juice.
Yeah, okay. So... Do you ever drink tomato juice if you're not flying?
I do. Or really? At least I used to. Yeah, like V8.
Do you drink more tomato juice when you're – like, do you have the urge for tomato juice more when you're flying?
This is really exciting radio.
It really is.
Flying is what got me started on
Jesse,
tomato juice.
How's your colon?
I don't really know how my colon Great. Is. I assume it's fine. I assume everybody's colon is okay. So
we got a question, didn't we?
We got a great question.
So one of our listeners was nice enough to send a design related question.
A great question.
All right.
Shall I read it? All right. This is from,
are we going to say their name?
This is from Johnny.
All right.
Since it's just from Johnny. This question comes from Johnny. I don't know where Johnny's from. His question is, what is a healthy way to incentivize your employees to perform?
Oh, boy.
Yes. He goes into a little bit of detail.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm a part of a small startup with a team of about 10 people, and I'm struggling to find a good way to incentivize my team to get projects done for my clients in a timely and responsible manner.
Wow.
I like to run a not-so-tight ship and believe that as long as you get your shit done, you should be okay.
Okay, but he's not getting getting their shit done.
Starting to feel that my flexibility is being abused, people coming in late and leaving early, deadlines being barely missed in some cases. I specify with healthy incentives because I feel giving them a bonus or commission on wins with the clients only has them working under the number goal or attaining clients that may actually hurt us.
Gotta fire somebody.
What do you do for your team? How do you keep them doing what needs to be done in a way that's not overbearing or unhealthy? Thanks, guys.
Fear. Just kidding. Not really. Why do you need extra incentive to do your job? We're going to argue about this.
Well, I mean, I agree with you, but I also feel like it's not unreasonable to want to, like, promote, like, good morale so that people don't slip behind.
I agree. However, so there's like three things.
Mm-hmm.
There's three prongs of motivation.
Yeah.
On my Triton today. One, you got to pay people fairly.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's a job, you get paid.
Oh yeah.
That should be all the motivation somebody needs to do their job.
Yeah.
Quite honestly. And I think that's a huge problem these days.
Mm-hmm.
You have people who feel entitled to all sorts of bullshit. And the salary isn't really enough for me to do the job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, salary gets me through the door. And
at some point in the day.
Right. Unless there's like treats, then I'm just going to be sitting there watching looking at Facebook all day.
Just watching Facebook.
Watching Facebook, yeah. Slicing fruit on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to make me want to work.
Yeah.
Like, there's no work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
So, wait, back to the three prongs, though. So, you got to pay people.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, people have to feel a sense of ownership in what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to do grunt work.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, the more experience that you have doing something, the less grunt work you should be doing.
Yep.
And the more you should be part of the decision-making process. And I found that being part of that decision-making process helps to motivate people. They want to do better work.
Yeah.
Because, now they're like proving the thing that they argued for.
Mm-hmm.
And prong number three is people want to be heard.
Yes.
So, I mean, if you've hired smart people who know what they're doing, they're going to have really good ideas, hopefully better ideas than you're having. Because if you've hired a bunch of people and you're the one who has to have all the ideas, then you're hiring wrong.
Yeah.
So listen to what your people have to say.
Yep.
Allow them to make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And pay them well.
Yeah, that sounds not too far off what I was going to say. Like, I think that, you know, you don't have a one-pronged approach, which is just pay people and they'll do everything. I think that the people having a, you know, being heard.
But I found, like, you can't teach work ethic.
Yeah, you can't necessarily teach it, but I think that you can foster it.
You can set an example.
Yeah.
People have to know what the rules are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people do better when they know what the rules are. Like, this guy's talking about, like, everybody just comes in whenever they want.
Yeah.
Like, for like the first few years of running this company,
mm-hmm.
like, we didn't have a set start time.
Oh, yeah.
Which was so stupid. So stupid. We would have our morning check-in when everyone got here.
Yeah.
Was the general idea.
And that kind of, I mean, that, it's stupid, but it also works with when you're only a 2 or 3 person company. At least in my experience, because Pacific Helm kind of went through, even though it went from 3 to 5 people, it went through its little growing pains with little things like that, where it's like, you don't want to, when you're small, you don't want to set all these rules, because it seems kind of silly to have like a big set of rules for 3 people, aside from just like, hey, show up to work.
Well, yeah, but that's just it. Show up when?
Yeah. It's like when you start adding new people into the mix or more people into the mix, and then, you know, what wasn't a problem with the 3 people, no rules thing suddenly becomes a problem.
I'm wrong right off the bat. I was going to say anytime you put 2 people together, you need rules.
Mm-hmm.
You can call them, setting expectations if you want. But I think even if you're by yourself, you need rules.
Yeah.
Especially, and, you know, this is what you're doing right now. You're working at home.
Yeah.
I guarantee that if you haven't already, you're going to start setting rules for yourself.
Yeah. And I think that what it is maybe is that, like, say when you start with one person, like, some people are morning people and they get up at 6 a.m. And that's just never a problem. So they don't need to set a rule of like, I need to start work by 9.
Right.
And so I think that that's what it is, because it's not necessarily – I think that like the time thing is an easy – you should just do that. That's – start work at a certain time. That's easy. It's not that invasive. It's not horrible for people. They have a job.
It's a job. Like,
that's normal. That's
jobs life. Come with start times.
Yeah. I think it's when you get – when you start getting to things like vacation time, where it's like you don't want to limit it so much, but then it's just like – you have all these companies that have, like, quote-unquote unlimited PTO, but it's not unlimited because then you could just take a sabbatical. It is limited.
So, you know, these things are really, really great if you're working with people who have, like, a good work ethics.
Mm-hmm. Or the same work ethics.
Or the same work ethic.
Yeah.
And you can give people unlimited PTO mm-hmm. if you know that, you know, they're gonna put in their hard 40 no matter what,
yeah.
whenever they can.
Mm-hmm.
But I've interviewed people to work here mm-hmm. where like one of their first few questions during the interview is, how many days do I get to work from home?
Mm-hmm. That's a that seems like a special tech thing, right?
And so to which I answered, why do you want to work from home?
Yeah.
Well, because I want to do laundry.
Mm-hmm.
That's an actual answer I got once.
And like, on one hand, I totally understand that. But on the other hand, like, that's just, it's not a part, that's not something that your employer is responsible for providing you the time for. Like,
well, that's another thing.
Yeah.
It's like,
I've been on both sides of that. And I get both sides.
I was having a conversation with somebody yesterday who's in the process of hiring people. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that she was talking about was the amount of responsibility that new employees want to put on you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how am I supposed to get to work? Was an actual question that she got.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. You have all these companies like figure that out for people.
Yeah, and I mean, looking at, you know, the state of you know, this bullshit now, like,
yeah.
people do pick you up and bring you to work, which is ridiculous.
It is.
Like, work starts at 9, be here at 9.
Mm-hmm.
I don't fucking care how you get here.
Yeah.
That's on you.
Yeah. And so maybe I know that we're kind of getting off topic, I feel myself about to get off topic, which is in an industry when there are big companies like Facebook and Google and Apple who offer that, what do you think? What do you feel is the benefit of working at a little company like Mule instead of a big company like Facebook with their buses and their right. foie gras?
The one thing that I've been able to promise people that they can't is a straight 40. Like, we start work every day at the same time, and we end work every day at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone here leaves at 6.
Yep.
And after 6, there's no emailing, there's no chatting back and forth, there's no slacking, there's no client interaction. Like,
yeah.
we turn into pumpkins. Like, I don't care.
I can't remember. I don't think I ever, when I was here for the 2 years or whatever, I don't think that I ever had to pull any extra hours.
I remember one time that we asked people to stay late because we were trying to launch something or prepare for a pitch meeting.
And that was before I got there, because that was a legendary story even back then.
Yes.
So
that one time.
It was one time.
You idiots made me stay here till 8.
And you guys ordered pizza or something.
Oh, dicks.
I know.
Wasn't even swordfish.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. It's hard because, like, I mean, having run an agency in San Francisco and trying to hire people for it, it's just like you don't have as much to offer in the way of all the shiny, we'll take care of you benefits.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're young and single, and, you know, the idea of leaving at 6 might not be of interest to you because, you know, you're at work, you're hanging out
with
your buddies.
What's the difference? Yeah.
You're, you know, you're coding, which is what you'd be doing at home anyway.
Yep.
So, like, you love hanging out at work.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, like being at school. But you know, if you're older, if you have kids, then you know, and your kids need to be picked up at a certain time at daycare, or they start charging you $1 a minute or $5 a minute.
Is that real?
Yeah, that's real.
I should be in daycare. I'm making more money.
Right. Then all of a sudden, having, you know, being able to count on an end time, that's really important to you. And even just, you know, because you would rather, you know, go home and spend time with your kid is good enough.
Yeah.
You know, there comes a time when that's more interesting to you than, you know, hanging out with your buddies pair coding. And, you know, maybe there doesn't come a time for everybody.
I like calling it couples coding.
Sure, couples Oh, we got to talk about pair outfits in Japan.
What?
Yeah, hold on.
Okay.
And, you know, we're small, so we don't need a lot of people for whom that's important. And, you know, we managed to find enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's trying to get back on the topic of, like, how to motivate your team. What's, I mean, you guys have been around for such a long time. Did you, like, I guess aside from having everybody show up during a certain, like, from 9 to 6, like, were there other things that you had to start enforcing late in the game?
Working from home has been an issue off and on.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's, again, I think that's the kind of thing, working from home especially, where it really truly does benefit certain people. But then certain other people are just like, Sally gets to work from home. I want to work from home.
Right.
And so, then they do laundry.
So what started happening was, you know, people would just feel like working from home.
Yeah.
So, you know, they'd send an email early in the morning like, hey, I'm working from home today. Or I'm not feeling well, so I'm working from home, which to me is a contradiction. You're either sick or you're working.
Yeah, I'm not feeling well.
Don't
I'm just
do both.
Not going to. Yeah.
And then, you know, there were times when, like, Erica and I would go off to a conference, and I could guarantee that in the morning, I emails would start coming in, like half the company all of a sudden working from home.
Yeah. Well, everybody's just so sad that you guys are gone.
Sure.
I couldn't even.
They can't even manage to get on BART today.
Yeah.
So we finally had to, you know, figure out a rule behind that. And the new rule is, it's not even new, or it's new-ish, couple years. You can work from home with 24 hours notice if working from home will improve what you're doing. For example, I just need to sit and write a proposal today.
Yep.
And you need no input from anybody else at work to do that.
So you're not like on Slack bugging people all day.
Working from home cannot add work to other people's plates.
Yeah.
So you can't have any meetings that day that you needed to attend. I mean, we try not to have too many of those anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, I'm working from home. Can you guys, like, can you guys set up a Google Hangout for me? Like, for the 10 o'clock meeting? That's bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, I have to interrupt my day to set up a Google Hangout for you because you couldn't be bothered to come in. So no more of that.
Yeah.
So if you are working from home, you need to check with the project manager, okay it with them. They need to make sure that your schedule is cleared.
Yeah.
And then we don't want to interact with you at all during the day.
Yeah.
And then the next day you come in and you're like, hey, those 8 hours were really helpful. I got that proposal done. Fantastic.
Yeah. At Pacific Helm, we used to have, I mean, again, super early stages when it was just me and the two other co-founders. We started with every U.S. holiday is – we get off policy, which was like fun because, you know, like there's always like one or two of those a month. So we just get like 1 or 2 days off a month. Nice little 3-day weekends. And but then it like when we actually had more employees and had real projects a couple of years mm-hmm. into it. I just remember one time where, like, we had a huge deadline, like, the next day, and, like, nobody came into the office except for me. And then I was like, where is everybody? And they're like, oh, it's Kennedy's birthday. I'm not here.
Seriously.
Or something like
that's
that.
That's not even a national holiday.
I mean, it was – I think that it was, like, a real national holiday, but, like, not really a bank holiday, just, like, one of the lesser ones, like, yeah, Columbus Day or something.
We only do bank holidays.
Yeah.
So if the bank's closed, we're closed.
Yeah. Yeah, which is just like, you know, doing other ones is fun too because you just get like an extra 5 or 10 days a year. But then it's just like I assumed that it was an unspoken thing where it's just like, well, if you have a lot of work to do, then maybe you should do it. That was not something that everybody else assumed.
Right.
So it's just little things like that. You just have to like kind of adjust as you go. And I don't think, you know,
there are things that I've had to teach people that would never occur to me mm-hmm. that I would have to teach people. Like, you can't miss a deadline.
Yeah. Yeah, like, but it doesn't always...
Like, deadlines are not suggestions. They're yeah. deadlines. The word dead is right is built right
and
in
the line.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's a little crazy to me. And I know that, like, sometimes there are deadlines that are not deadlines. Sometimes, if you're the boss and you're in charge of the deadline, I can say that.
All deadlines are deadlines.
Yes, yes.
So the way we do it here is you take deadlines very seriously.
Yep.
Even internal deadlines.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, we're doing all of this work together and collaboratively. And if you miss your part of something, then, you know, you're screwing like three people down the road.
Yeah.
If you are beginning to get an inkling that you may miss a deadline,
mm-hmm.
you need to go to your project manager immediately.
Yeah.
And say, hey, it's not a big chance, but there's like a 20% chance I might miss this deadline.
Man, people need to do that. All the time. I think that
yeah.
I think that some people are scared of doing that because it maybe makes it seem like they want to try and get that deadline. They're like, I'll make up for it. It's going to be fine. And they don't want everybody to think that they maybe were behind at some point. But like, oh my God, it's like it's never a big deal if like a week in advance somebody's just like, hey,
yeah,
this is slipping a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, and the sooner you do it, the better because
yes.
there are things that can be done. And somebody who's under deadline and feeling pressure and already feeling it slip is not in the best position to figure out, you know, what that help looks like.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, like it's like asking a drowning person to choose their method of saving.
Yeah.
So the sooner that you can tell the person responsible for the project mm-hmm. that a deadline may be in jeopardy.
Yeah.
The better.
And that, if I may interrupt, that's also just like so that you can get higher level decision making people involved in this deadline slippage.
Right.
And like look at, well, like what can we shave off? Maybe we actually don't need to be doing this. Maybe you're making it too complicated, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there's things that can happen. Like maybe the deadline can be moved.
Yes.
Maybe we can throw more people at that work.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can, you know, look at it all together and figure out a faster way to do what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot that can happen
yeah.
as soon as you bring that to other people's attention.
And like 95% of the time, deadlines are just about some person at the end of the chain expecting a thing by a certain time.
Right.
And being mad if they don't get it, and there being a whole chain of people to get to and explain that.
Right.
Like,
so,
seldom are they actual, like, if you don't do it by Friday, the world explodes.
Right.
Or we missed our chance.
Let's say that I've got, you know, I've got a bunch of work due this Friday.
Mm-hmm.
That means that there's somebody on the other end of that mm-hmm. who's expecting all of this work by Friday.
Yep.
And for all I know, they've got somebody above them waiting to see that work.
That maybe they scheduled a thing with.
Right. So my
yeah.
So my client is waiting for my work to present to their boss on Monday morning. Mm-hmm. I slip my Friday deadline. All of a sudden, it's Friday afternoon. They just found out that they're not going to have what they need for their meeting Monday morning. Mm-hmm. And they're going to get reamed by their boss.
Yeah.
And that's a really shitty thing to do to the person who trusted you to do this project and gave you a lot of money.
Yeah. And it's just this little designer or developer who just didn't tell their project manager. Right. Sorry, everybody.
And, you know, the flip side of that mm-hmm. is that a good project manager should be checking in with people.
Yes.
Like, at least on a daily basis.
It'd be kind of crazy if that didn't get caught by a PM also, situation. And yet it happens quite frequently.
Right. There's checks and balances there.
Yeah.
Like the project manager should be going up to you every day and going, how are you doing on that deadline?
Yeah.
Do you need any help? Is everything okay? Is there anything I can do?
And I think with this kind of ties into all of it, which is that like sometimes between project managers, between any manager and people working under you, you just have to start getting to know everybody and like their personal weaknesses and strengths, because right. somebody who might be saying that the sky is falling and that their deadline might be slipping, it's just like, well, he gets it in every single time.
Right.
Or she gets it in every single time.
I mean, I've worked with people who, like, I knew that there would be, like, a certain point in the project mm-hmm. that they would start getting nervous.
Yeah.
And that I would have to sit down with them mm-hmm. and just go over what they were doing and
yeah.
talk them off the ledge.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would be smooth sailing.
Yeah. I had an employee who had who did offsite work, like, every Tuesday or something like that. And every single Wednesday, it was like clockwork. He would start freaking out about his work for the week because we always had reviews on Fridays. Every single Wednesday. And like a couple of weeks in, I was like, you know that you just freak out because it's Wednesday. And then it is fine after that. And I think that like getting over that helped a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, I think that, yeah, being able to like get to know your employees and things like that, like Wednesday freakouts or Billy doesn't want to show up until 11.
Right.
You can start adjusting your strategy around that. But honestly, having those kind of larger rules like office hours are, yeah. I don't think that that's unhealthy or unfair.
It's a job.
It's business. Part of the job.
It's business hours. So, you know, back to Johnny's question over mm-hmm. here, like I would ask him if it's clear to everybody mm-hmm. what their start time is.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's not.
Or it used to be, and it's just not. I mean, I guess like maybe what if Johnny's start time is clear? It's 9 to 6.
If Johnny's start time is clear.
And they're not doing it.
And they're not doing it, then he's got a bigger problem.
Yeah. I think it's when it starts becoming like office hours are 9 to 6 and then people show up at 9 and then at 9:05 and
right.
then they get coffee and it's 9:15. And 9:15 is fine. But when it starts getting to 9:45, that's not fine. And it's like, how do you draw the line? How do you say, hey, everybody, you've been cool about it, but no more Mr. Nice Guy?
My favorite is when people are late and they show up with a giant Starbucks cup.
mm-hmm.
Like you realize you could have made it on time, right?
Yeah, I mean, I do that too.
Just saying.
Again, I think because like I'm back on the employee side of this, although I am working from home now, so I still answer to myself for a lot of those little daily things. I understand, like, I don't know, kind of the comfort of a flexible workplace. But I also like to think of myself as a person with, like, a decent work ethic.
Yeah.
Like, I don't not finish things.
There's a difference between flexibility and like, lawlessness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I agree. But like, for some people, it is like crazy to say that they have to be into the office at 9.
Then those people can't work here.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's crazy. Like if I were an employee,
mm-hmm.
like I would want to know, when do you expect me? When can I go home?
Mm-hmm. I know.
Like
yeah.
that to me would be really important. Like
yeah.
the idea that, you know, come like 6 p.m., like, you, like, I would be wondering, maybe can I go home? Is it okay to go home? Are
yeah.
people expecting me to stay later? Like, that would drive me nuts.
Yeah.
One of the last jobs I had, I remember it was, like, Friday at 5:45 p.m. the chief marketing officer comes up to my cubicle and he's holding a disc in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
It was back in those days, or at least, or maybe he was just 10 years behind everybody. And he said, I have this deck that I need you to, you know, clean up or make magic or whatever the hell he said.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, cool, I'll take care of it on Monday. Oh, no, no, I need it tonight.
Yeah.
And I said, well, this is a hell of a time to bring it to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not happening tonight. I didn't last too much longer after that. Because the expectation was that if they brought me work,
mm-hmm.
I would do it no matter what the time.
Yeah.
I don't want to work like that.
It just seems like there's so much of a, I'm just trying to think of like, gosh, the people who I've worked with or the people who I've known who have had kind of tendencies to not fit within those. And it's just like, there are some people I know that like, they're very talented, they're very skilled, and a lot of employers are willing to bend their rules for them. And I understand bringing in great talent because you can offer a little bit of flexibility, but I think that it sets a weird example for everybody else.
It's a superstar system.
It is.
And superstar systems don't work well.
I'm a little done with that for the time being.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had too much of that lately. And I've even like done that a little. I mean, not so much, but like, you know, when I was at the big company,
right?
There was so much flexibility that I just didn't like. While I think like, you know, I'm usually a person who likes being on time to things, like, sometimes when other people have so much flexibility, then I don't work as hard because I see other people not working as hard. And I think that that's the danger of it, is that it's not even about like preventing the slackers. It's about encouraging me, because if I have the option of being lazy, I'm going to be lazy.
I'm an incredibly lazy person.
So lazy.
I mean.
So yeah, like eliminate those options for people.
I'm going to go home tonight after this and I'm going to, like, I'm already thinking about like all the TV I'm going to watch until I go to bed.
I'm so excited.
Isn't TV great?
I love TV.
It's so great. And you get to sit in a nice comfortable, like, do you have a comfortable couch?
Oh, I've got a kitten. I've got a comfortable couch and a little like purring fur ball that sits next to me.
And you're just going to sit there and watch TV tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Well, that's what I'm doing. Now it's just like, well, I need to spend time with my kitten. I can't like leave it there by itself.
Your kitten needs to develop a sense of comfort in the home.
Yeah, which is in front of the Apple TV.
You need to put in some quality time with that kitten.
Oh, yeah. I will be.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that we have... we've been podcasting a little while, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
This is, according to this, our
150th
second episode.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's nuts, man.
So what is it? Are you quitting? Are you about to quit?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
I was wondering, where is that going?
I just meant that our episode is running long.
Oh, this episode.
Yeah.
It's at 40 minutes, yeah.
Oh, it's at 40 minutes, yeah.
We should say goodbye.
We try and keep it in the 45 minute cap, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Most definitely.
Yeah. I don't want to bore everybody. We could talk more about tomato juice, though.
How's your colon?
My colon is, it's fine.
Great.
Satisfactory. It's doing its job.
I read an article this morning on why people fart more while they're flying.
TLDR version? Why?
Because the lower cabin pressure expands your insides,
mm-hmm.
and creates all of this gas.
No. Oh, is that a good time to go on a juice cleanse then?
No. It's a good time. According to them, it's a good time to eat fermented soy.
So like probiotics?
Because fermented soy creates the kind of bacteria that eats those gases.
Oh, like Pac-Man.
Exactly like Pac-Man.
The way you're describing it, it sounds like Pac-Man.
And you can even eat like strawberries and pretzels and bananas for Pac-Man to gobble up.
Can't let the ghosts catch you.
Right.
Okay. Well, that was enlightening.
That was great.
Should we have like a Snapple fact at the end of each episode
aren't
now?
Aren't you guys glad we're back?
They missed us.
They did.
They missed us. I missed this.
So how does one get to be one of those $5 fans?
I believe one can direct their web browser of choice to tugboatyards.com/mistakes.
And give us $5.
And the UI of the site is just so good that they can just take it right from there.
Just take it. Just disappears.
Just take it. It's just like it literally it charges your credit card when you go to that website.
Yep.
Well, Mike, it's been good.
Nice to be back, Jesse.
We doing this again next week?
Yeah, we are.
Great.
All right.
Looking forward to it.